You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin with you once again to go through the 10 Premier League fixtures this weekend, starting on Friday night with Chelsea versus Liverpool. First of all, a warm welcome, a good morning to you, Derek McGovern.
Greetings, chaps.
How are you doing, sir?
Very, very well. Still waiting for my first winning nap of the season, but fair enough, I'm the Harry Kane of the tipping world. I take a while to get into my stride, but once there, I'm still useless.
We were not going to mention that at all, and you've brought it up.
I think somehow you would have shoehorned one or two mentions, one or two needles in this bulletin, so I thought I'd get my retaliation in first.
Have you enjoyed the midweek European action, Derek?
No, I haven't actually. It's been a bit... Leicester's result was an absolute shocker. I couldn't believe that one. But no, it's this Champions League. It's losing its luster, I think. I don't know. You've got to do something to overhaul it, but what they do, I don't know.
All about Bake Off for Derek, Tom. He loves Bake Off. Have you enjoyed it?
I have been called a master baker in the past.
to start with a lewd joke, Derek.
No, not like that. It was batter week though this week, chaps, on the Great British Bake Off. But I think Celtic got that memo, didn't they? I could not believe Brendan Rodgers. It wasn't embarrassing. It's not embarrassing, is it, to lose by that scoreline against anybody? It's unbelievable stuff. But I don't know, the European football show. This is just the Champions League, isn't it? These kind of we just wait patiently for the knockout stages, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think anything that comes before that is pretty immaterial, and we almost know from the moment the groups are drawn which two teams are going to progress through to the knockout stages. Let's get stuck into this week then, chaps. We'll start with the match on Friday night, Chelsea versus Liverpool. Chelsea 6-5, the draw 5-2, and Liverpool in the betting at 9-4. The enhanced odds, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 9-4, enhanced to 3-1. And Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 9-2, now 11-2. A huge game, Derek, to kick off the weekend. One that I can't wait for at Stamford Bridge. And Conte versus Klopp is something I've looked forward to. I'm hoping they've got the touchline camera on red alert here, because two absolute maniacs managing these two sides.
Well, they are, and you'd imagine. I mean, they've been talking about each other in great terms and friendly terms, but two fellas who act like that on the touchline, they've got to encroach into one another's territory, you'd imagine. There could be fireworks then. I'm almost looking forward to that, as I am to the match. The worry for Liverpool fans, you know, I went to the Leicester game last week, and I have to say Leicester were atrocious. What worries Liverpool fans is the fact that Lucas could yet play centre-half again, and he's coming up against the Brazilian Diego Costa. I mean, in a certain light, Lucas could pass as Costa's way. Basically, it's a mismatch, isn't it? I don't know what to expect from this game. Instinctively, I think that Chelsea are a bit under, because, okay, they've started the season pretty well. Their hiccup at Swansea last week was their first of the season, but they haven't really beaten anybody, have they? They haven't really done anything more than you expect them to do. Whereas Liverpool have been to Arsenal, won, went to Tottenham, won, hammered the champions. I honestly don't think Liverpool have got that much to fear here. 9-4 Liverpool, I expected maybe to get a touch of 5-2, 11-4, but it's still, you know, it's still a place you can go to war with, and I think that'll do for me. It's an interesting one. I mentioned the two Brazilians, Costa and Lucas Leiva, but there's any number of them, isn't there? Firmino, Philip Coutinho, Willian, Oscar, David Luiz. There could be seven Brazilians on the field. Now, I've got a real dumb mate, and when I said that to him, he said, God, that sounds a lot. How many is a Brazilian? That's how sick my mates are. Cut that one out.
No, all these bad jokes stay in, Derek. That's the thing. I only ever cut your good ones out, Derek.
You know what? Same happens in my Daily Mirror column as well.
Liverpool for Derek then at 9-4 in this match. Liverpool won at Stamford Bridge last season, and Chelsea only picked up a point last week, Tom, having taken the lead against Swansea. As Derek mentioned, Liverpool incredibly impressive against Leicester last weekend. looking forward to this match immensely. I think the draw might be it's the biggest price on offer, and it could be the best bet here at 5-2, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going goals, Dave. I can't see anything other than a load of goals here. John Terry's out injured, and whatever you think about John Terry, you know, he's still an immense leader for Chelsea at the back. And when I look at both teams' defences, weakened without John Terry, you know, Derek talking about Lucas maybe playing at, you know, at centre-half for Liverpool, I just see defensively both these sides being absolutely wide open. I think it's the kind of game Kante could really take by the scruff of the neck, but I just think attack is going to be on top. I mean, look at some of the scorelines, you know, just from this season, for both these sides. I mean, we had the 4 goals last week at Swansea, and people would have expected maybe a, you know, a 2-0, 3-0 Chelsea win, which is what I thought it would be. You know, Liverpool have been banging the goals in, but they also look open as well. And I just think with Chelsea's attack, which is on fire, you know, Hazard has been sensational, Costa too. The supporting cast around them have been great. They're winning the ball back well in midfield, but Liverpool will come into this with absolutely masses of confidence. And I can only see goals. I mean, if you like Liverpool, I've looked at Liverpool and both teams to score, but I'm playing over 3.5 goals in this one. I'm not too sure about, you know, exactly who comes out on top, but the one thing I can probably suggest is plenty of goals. Liverpool has got more Premier League goals this calendar year than anybody else, 50, with 24 of them coming away from home, while Chelsea, you know, even though Conte's come in and, you know, they haven't really been tested yet this season, you know, they've only kept one clean sheet in the last 14 home league games, so that they're leaky at home and have been for a while. Without John Terry, attack is very much on top. You look at both these sides and you say, what's their biggest strength? And it's going forward. And I think it'll be an explosive game. I really do.
Yeah, over 3.5 goals available at 7-4 here with William Hill. And if you are looking at the enhanced odds offer involving Diego Costa, it is worth noting that Costa has scored 5 in his last 5 Premier League games and 4 in his last 4 under Antonio Conte as well. So Costa to score and Chelsea to win available at 3-1. Let's move on. We've got Everton versus Middlesbrough, which is a Saturday 5:30, and Everton in the betting at 3-4 to win this game. The draw 13-5 with Middlesbrough in the betting at 15-4. Enhanced odds: Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 13-8, enhanced to 9-4, and Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 15-2, now 8-1. Tom, magical performance from Everton against Sunderland on Monday night. Romelu Lukaku scoring a hat-trick. He's part of the enhanced odds offer. I thought Yannick Bolasie was outstanding. And the really special performance came from Idrissa Gueye in that centre of midfield, Tom. And they could have something special with him at Everton this season. And what I like under Ronald Koeman is he's not afraid to make huge decisions. Took off Ross Barkley at half-time in that game. He isn't a protector of reputations, Ronald Koeman. If he thinks there's a change that needs to be made, he'll make it swiftly.
Well, I almost look at Koeman and he seems to be auditioning for all the big jobs. You know, he wasn't Southampton. He's doing exactly the same at Everton. You contrast Mourinho in the Manchester derby and how he couldn't see how he'd picked the wrong team. He'd set the team up badly and he didn't change it. The Mourinho of old would have, and Koeman did exactly that, albeit against lesser opposition on Monday. But I thought it wasn't necessarily brave. It was just the right thing to do, and it completely changed the game. He knew there was going to be space on the counter attack. Lukaku probably hasn't scored an easy hat-trick. He could have had 6 goals actually on Monday night. So the good thing is he's off and running, and as we know on his day, he can be right up there with the best in the Premier League. But Gueye is the player, Dave. You know, you mentioned him there. I talked about him last week. I think they've got an absolute steal on their hands. I think, honestly, think looking at his performance on Monday night, you know, he would be in and around a lot of football clubs starting 11s in the Premier League, and he's an absolute snap. He's made more tackles in the Premier League this season than anybody else. And there's only a couple of players who've completed more passes than him, and that's Henderson and Fernandinho. So, you know, you think about that for this Everton side, he's an absolutely key player. And Middlesbrough come into this, you know, albeit with a good start, you know, I would suggest a solid start, but it would, you know, I didn't think they'd lose last week to Crystal Palace. That, you know, they got done on the sucker punch. And I think it's going to be a long, grueling campaign for them. I still think they've got probably just enough, you know, to maybe keep the relegation fight at arm's length. But, you know, unless they start sort of winning some games and turning some of the possession they have into actual chances, that's the problem with Middlesbrough. They look a solid side in terms of that possession of the ball that they keep, because of the way they've been set up. They were like that in the Championship, but ultimately they've got to show a little bit more going forward. And I think maybe they're lacking, you know, just an extra dimension up top. So, I mean, Everton should win this one pretty easy. I was looking at Middlesbrough the last time they won at Goodison Park. Janino and Brian Dean were goal scorers. So it's a long, long time ago. And, you know, Lukaku in form, I can't see anything other than an Everton victory here. I'd probably look at Lukaku to score two or more. He does tend to score in runs, doesn't he? And, you know, the two or more price is pretty good. It's around the 11-2 mark. But I can't look too far past that enhanced odds offer, Dave, of a Lukaku goal and an Everton win.
Yeah, it looks a cracker, that. 13-8 enhanced to 9-4 here with William Hill. Derek, 66-1 for the Premier League title, Everton. Was it about their performance on Monday night, or was it about Sunderland's performance?
I think it was Sunderland's performance, to be honest. I watched the game and Everton murdered them second half, but they didn't really have to do anything to win that game. You know what I mean? It seemed to be presented to them. I mean, that hat-trick Lukaku scored, I mean, he was marked by Lamine Kone, but he's been given suffer times by training cones. I mean, the centre-half was absolutely atrocious. And, you know, to be honest, you or I could have put that hat-trick away. Now, like, you know, like, OK, fair enough, a hat-trick in 11 minutes is great. It's the fastest threesome since that Leicester jaunt in Thailand I've been heard in the Premier League. But, I mean, he covered every blade of six-yard box as well, Lukaku. So Koeman's obviously getting them working now. But I'm still not convinced by him. I'm still not 100% convinced by Everton. And I'm definitely not convinced by Middlesbrough. Because everything you said there, Tom, about them chimes with me, what I think about them too. They're a solid, solid side. They're never going to get battered by anybody. But they lack any kind of intent. It's like as though, you know, they're almost like a better version of West Brom. They'll go on the pitch and they'll be, you know, they'll keep the ball happily as long as, you know, but they don't look like scoring. They never look like scoring. At least Everton do. Everton have attacking players. I do think Everton will win this game. I'm a little bit perturbed at 3-4 is a bit on the short side. I don't like backing Everton at odds on, to be honest. They're a team I prefer backing away from home at tasty prices. But I can't see them failing against Middlesbrough here. I think Koeman is doing a fantastic job for them.
I don't understand how it works with you, Derek, because they were terrible last season. You're convinced they're going to come good last season. Now they're looking good, and you're not convinced by them. You're not sure they're the real deal.
I made the mistake last season of watching them a couple of times and thinking, you know, this team is going to murder someone soon. But I was made to look stupid by Everton. But to be honest, I think they just down to the manager. They wouldn't get to the manager, and they could have finished an awful lot higher in the table.
Yeah.
And people are getting worked up by what they saw on Monday against Sunderland, but other teams are going to murder Sunderland this season. I want a bit more evidence before I think the able propositions at long odds on.
Okay, Everton 3-4, the draw 13-5, Middlesbrough in the betting at 15-4. On to Sunday's live matches, and we start at midday with Watford versus Manchester United. Watford 5-1 to win the match. The draw 3-1. Manchester United 11-20. Enhanced odds, Odi Ighalo to score and Watford to win was 9-1, enhanced to 11-1. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 7-5. It's now 7-4. Derek, Manchester United have won the last 10 meetings between the two sides. A run that goes way back to 1986. That was 2 months before Sir Alex Ferguson was appointed manager of the club. But they come into this game having to deal with that Derby Day loss against Manchester City last weekend. And Jose Mourinho, openly critical of his players after that defeat, Derek. He's the sort of manager where if it goes right, he's the man and it's all about him and his tactics. But when it goes wrong, the players are to blame.
Yeah, well, him and 19 other Premier League managers, I always think, you know, it's they're happy to take the praise when things are going their way. Not quite so happy when they get on that wrong end of a hiding, and it was a hiding. I thought City were in a different league to them last week, and that's going to affect Man United's confidence. Everything was hunky dory before then. Everybody was talking about the league title in their grasp. But I think they were given a wake-up call there. Let's not forget they were playing on Thursday night as well. I know it's going to be a different squad, a different team that lines up against Watford because they've got that kind of strength and depth. But it would be interesting to see how United bounce back from that Derby Day defeat. And Watford should be flying after what they did against West Ham last week. I mean, they looked dead and buried at 2-0 down and came back and won convincingly. It was a tremendous second-half performance by them. And every game this season, they've scored a goal. They do look full of running. I can't back United at 1-2 because I think they're going to suffer a bit of a hangover from what happened last week.
Watford just not quite big enough for me, even though their only two defeats this season have come against teams you'd expect them to lose against. I think it was Chelsea. Was it Chelsea and Arsenal?
Yeah, that's it.
You know, so, okay, you might put Man United in that bracket too. I think the safest bet here, I'm going to take a leap from Tom's when he's not 100% sure what game to go for, what who's going to win the game. I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals at 10 to 11. Actually, you know what I might do? I might go out over 3.5 at 9 to 4 because there's attacking intent in both of these two sides.
Yeah, I like that. Over 3.5 at 9 to 4 in the game for... Derek, they have lost their last couple of games, Watford in the Premier League, as Derek mentioned, against Chelsea and Arsenal. But they will be on a high after the way they responded against West Ham last weekend, going two goals down in that game and winning the match 4-2. And I'm not convinced Jose Mourinho did the right thing calling out his players like he did after that Manchester derby, Tom.
No, I mean, particularly with what happened at Chelsea last year, Dave. I mean, I thought... Maybe brave, maybe stupid, maybe he knows exactly what he's doing, Jose Mourinho, but, you know, he got it badly wrong. He set up his team so poorly. I couldn't believe how bad he was, just in terms of keeping that sort of, you know, the pitch tight, making it small. I mean, Man City want a big pitch, don't they?
Yeah.
They want the pitch as big as possible. Pep Guardiola's side, that's exactly what they want. And he gave it to them. It was unbelievable. Maybe, you know, sometimes Mourinho thinks he's, I don't know whether he just thinks he's too clever sometimes for his own good. I don't know what his end game was going to be, you know, in that particular match. And you know, I think the players will be hurting a little bit, Manchester United, but it's exactly what I've written down here, over 3.5 goals in this one, because I don't know. I mean, Watford at 5-1, you might look at Man United last week and think, yeah, are they vulnerable? Are they going to be hurting from that one? But I can't necessarily trust this Watford side, who, yes, came back, you know, well against West Ham. You know, and I think Troy Deeney was talking about the, you know, the West Ham players at 2-0 up doing sort of flicks and tricks, and that kind of inspired the Watford players to come back. But they will be right up for this one. But I can only see goals now. I told you Igalo and Deeney were going to come good. that is it now. They're off and running. So I just think there aren't many teams nowadays in the Premier League with two out and out strikers playing up top. You know, particularly with the kind of players that they are. You know, Deeney's a bulldozer. He's like a heavyweight boxer. And Igalo is that player who plays on the shoulder and he's always alive to chances in the penalty area. And the quality of Deeney's finish, you know, last week was brilliant. And I just think Watford posed that different threat to maybe other sides, which is why they're scoring goals. But obviously, they have a vulnerability at the back. But I can't disagree with Derek. That's exactly what I was going to go for. Over 3.5 goals in this one. I think there'll be plenty of them in this game because Manchester United have got lots of attacking threat, as we know. Didn't see it last week. But again, vulnerably defensively, and I think Watford will fancy the chance of scoring one, if not two, in the game.
On to Crystal Palace versus Stoke next. 2:15 on Sunday. Crystal Palace 19-20 to win the match. The draw 9-4 with Stoke in the betting at 16-5. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 9-4. Enhanced to 3-1. And Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 11-2, now 13-2. Evenly matched sides, these two, Tom, on paper, but in recent history, Crystal Palace have had the better of it. They're 6 unbeaten against Stoke and have won 5 of those. And Stoke's start to the season has been pretty abysmal. They went through the early season stats on Monday Night Football on Sky Sports, and Stoke were bottom in just about every single metric. And unsurprisingly, their 1 point after 4 games is their lowest total in Premier League history. Do you think there'll be panic in the Stoke ranks already, or will they expect to come good at some point?
I think it's the manner of the goals that they're conceding, Dave, that's going to cause them panic. I mean, I look at teams at the start of the season, I think I don't mind necessarily if they're not winning matches, but, you know, if they look tight, if they're staying in matches, but I just don't see that from Stoke. And it's the manner of the collapse. It's the goals that they've conceded. 10 goals in the opening 4 games is pretty alarming. And, you know, one of Stoke's big qualities, you know, over the last 5, 6, 7 seasons has been defensively tough to beat. And then what Mark Hughes did was take them to a different level in terms of those attacking players. Now, we talked about Stoke, you know, before the season started, and I said they are not the team, or they do not have a set of players going forward that I would want during tough times. When things are going all right and they're on a run, brilliant. Bojan looks fantastic, Arnautovic. But now they're on a bit of a losing streak. You know, now the pressure is on the attacking players to score the goals. And I think maybe too much pressure for those shoulders to take. And I think this fixture is more about Stoke than Crystal Palace. I think it's whether Stoke can dig themselves out of it, but it's the manner of the defeat. It's not just that they're losing games, it's the manner of the defeat. And we know Palace aren't brilliant, but the confidence they'll have gained from you know, the last couple of matches, even that even the draw against Bournemouth, you know, they played all right in the second half despite being outplayed in the first half. And the victory at Middlesbrough, all right, you know, it's at Middlesbrough and it's probably a game they would expect to win. But there were better signs for Palace. So I think they come into this one in loads of confidence and Stoke don't. So I can't see Stoke turning it around here. 19-20 is probably a little bit short to be back in a Palace side who've had a really bad 2016. But Christian Benteke is a player who, if he's provided the ammunition, he is going to score goals. I mean, I know, you know, the cross last week for him from Zaha was brilliant, but he's not going to miss those chances. And I think maybe they have a strike in our Palace that they can trust and believe in. So I don't mind the enhanced odds offered out, you know, of a Benteke goal and a Palace win at 3-1. I do think Palace win the game. But again, if Stoke turn up and if Palace play as they have done at home generally over a long period of time, it could be a tight match. I don't actually mind in this one. It's a market I've been playing a bit this season, Davis. They both score no draw market at 2-1, but I'm going to go with a Benteke goal and a Palace win at 3-1.
Yeah, 3-1. That's part of the enhanced odds offer. You'll be going for Stoke here, won't you, Derek?
Yeah, I'll be good. In fact, I can't wait for this bulletin to finish. I'll be on them, and then I'll be on them again all day tomorrow and then all day Saturday. I can't believe the price. You look at Stoke and you wonder how they're bottom of the league. You look at Palace and you wonder how they're not. I mean, I can't have Palace. I mean, okay, there's a green shoot of recovery, perhaps, in that result last week. But look at their form over... You can't just get worked up over one game. You've got to look at it over, you know, a number of games. And they've been useless for months, almost a year. I'm not saying they were a one-man team last season, but they were caught in the Far East. They were called Crystal Balassi. And he's gone now. I just don't see how they can possibly be odds on in this game. I think it's a shocking price. I've always said there's two occasions when Palace should be opposed, when they're at home and when they're away. And I'm on Stoke here. So I just think under this manager part, he's not the right manager for Palace. I don't think he is. I mean, I backed him in the cup final last season against United, and then I thought, you know, for a long, because they only targeted the FA Cup from a long way out last term, and for a long time, it looked as though he'd won that game. But I don't know, maybe they're still suffering a bit of a hangover from that too. I'm not getting worked up by last week's results. I thought they rode their luck. I know Stoke are going to get better because they did last season. You remember they started this season last season poorly and still finished eighth. You know better things are going to come from Stoke. You don't know that about Palace. And Palace are odds on. Makes no sense to me. I'm on Stoke all day long.
The only difference between this year and last year, Derek, is the goals they're conceding. Tom made mention of it. They've conceded 10 in their opening 4 Premier League games of this season. They only conceded 10 in their opening 9 matches last season. So I think it's that feeling that defensively they are not producing.
That's the easiest thing of all to fix that.
Do you think so?
Yeah. It's when you're not creating chances, not scoring goals. That's the hardest part to remedy. Mm. You can easily shut up shop in a defence. You can get me a mug to make manage a team that will, you know, that will close the gaps at the back. That's easy to do. Not worried about that.
Okay, Tottenham versus Sunderland is the last of the televised games this weekend. Tottenham 3-10, the draw 4-1, Sunderland 10-1. The enhanced odds, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win, was odds on at 10-11. It's now 6-5. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win, was 14-1, enhanced to 20-1. Sunderland haven't beaten Tottenham in the league since 2010, and they haven't won at White Hart Lane since 2008. But Spurs coming into this on the back of that 2-1 loss at Wembley against Monaco, that's a big deal for them, Derek, because first taste of the Champions League since 2010-2011. They were a short price to beat Monaco. And even though Sunderland's defeat against Everton was embarrassing, we mentioned that earlier on in the podcast, defensively they were very poor, and you mentioned Lamina Kone and Jan Kirchhoff had a shocker in that game as well. Are they that bad that they should be 10-1 to win at Spurs?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest price we've seen this season, isn't it? And Spurs are what did you say, 1-3, 3-10?
3-10 they are.
I know, it's Spurs, and you look at that and you shudder. I mean, I always make a big issue the folly of backing Tottenham at long odds on. I mean, people, punters who have backed them at long odds on, you know, that's exactly what they're selling now, the big issue. It's just they've let punters down too often in the past. They were poor against Monaco, no doubt about it. But let's not forget they weren't at home. I know officially they were, but they weren't. Where they went to Wembley, and, you know, a crazy move in my eyes. They looked, they had a lot of the play, but they never looked like scoring against Monaco, who, by the way, look a very, very good side. The price up as though defeat is out of the question.
I'm actually thinking that's because it is. Not because Spurs are anything great, but Sunderland, I've said in many times this season, I've got to oppose them because they do not look in any shape or form like a Premier League team. You know, players, manager, there's nothing about them that speaks to me of Premier League. Against Everton, they were under par, under pressure, underprepared. And then come May, they'll be under everyone because I don't see a worse team in the Premier League than them. So, yeah, I am, for once, going to say, yeah, back Spurs at long odds on because I just don't see any other results here.
I'm shivering, Derek, here in the studio now at those words. Tottenham 3-10 to win this game. I think it's too short, Tom. I really do. I know that Sunderland have struggled early on under David Moyes, but I still see a little bit of talent in that Sunderland side.
Yeah, where?
You know what? I think Lamina Kone is decent. I know he had an absolute stinker on Monday night. Jan Kirchhoff, I see quality there.
Yeah.
Duncan Watmore, I know Duncan Watmore, but I still think there's a little bit to come from this Sunderland side.
Dave, I'll tell you where I give them a little glimmer in this one, is the fact that away from home, you know, they are better suited. I mean, they were wide open against Everton on Monday because they were at home, and you know, they committed so many bodies forward that Everton on the counter-attack were absolutely relentless. I do think that away from home, Sunderland will be that little bit tighter. Look at their sort of recent Premier League results away from home. They've drawn at Southampton, they've drawn at Watford, they've drawn at Stoke. Okay, we're going into the back end of last year in that run. And they only lost 2-1 at Manchester City. I'm with Derek that Sunderland are more than likely to get relegated. In fact, they're more than likely to finish bottom the way things are going. But I give them more of a snip away from home than I do at home, because I do think up there, you know, the Sunderland fans, you know, I don't think that David Moyes can be pragmatic at home and set up like the away side and try and hit teams on the counter-attack. And I think one thing that probably backs up that point is that Jermaine Defoe scored in 6 successive away Premier League games, and all of them pretty much on the counter-attack. And I look at him in the anytime goal scorer marks here at 5-2 against his former club, and I don't mind that at all. I just think Spurs at home as well this season have found life a little bit more difficult to sort of break teams down. I think they've had to work a lot harder. You know, it was 1-0 against Palace. They obviously got the draw against Liverpool, and obviously losing at Wembley in midweek. I don't know what that's going to do for them ahead of this one. Look, Tottenham win the game, but I think it'll be a nervy afternoon at White Hart Lane. So to boost up the price, I'm going to back a Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals. I could see a 1-0 or a 2-0 here for Tottenham, but nothing more than that, because Sunderland have had a great knack over the last sort of 6-7 months or so of staying in away games. So they don't get stuffed away from home. It's at home where they've had a lot of their beating. So Jermaine Defoe isn't bad at any time, but I'm going to go for a Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals at 12-5.
Jermaine Defoe to score, by the way, and Tottenham to win. 11-2, Jermaine Defoe to score and Tottenham to win the game, which could be worth a few quid as well. Let's move on to the non-televised fixtures this weekend. And we'll start with Hull versus Arsenal at the KCOM. And Hull are 11-2 to win the game. The draw 16-5. Arsenal in the betting at 1-2. We've got Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win. Was 19-2, enhanced to 14-1, which is a big enhancement. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win. Was 19-10, now 5-2. These two teams, Tom, locked together on 7 points apiece. Hull nicked a point away at Burnley with that Robert Snodgrass equaliser late on last weekend, while Arsenal got a fortuitous late penalty against Southampton to win at the Emirates 2-1. And that look continued when they somehow, Tom, scraped a draw against PSG despite being dominated at the Parc des Princes midweek.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that result in midweek was incredible, really. And I heard some Arsenal fans, those that are very much in the Wenger in camp, you know, talked about it being sort of the tactical masterclass and things like that. You know, away from home in the Champions League, he knows how to get results, but I'm not having that, and I'm not having their performance against Southampton. It wasn't great, but I'm almost going to discount those two matches, chaps, because this is the kind of fixture, you know, Arsenal against these newly promoted sides. I was reading this, that they're unbeaten in 25 games against newly promoted sides in the Premier League. They've won 21 of those matches. This is the kind of game that you look at it and you try and look against Arsenal and you try and think, well, you know, it's Arsenal, they've not played that well. Generally, the club's on a bit of a downer. But you can just see that, you can just see them turning up to Hull and just winning this 3-0. I really can. I know Hull have obviously surprised a lot of people, including myself. I mean, I had them bottom at Christmas. I hope they go on a real slide from now till then. But there is something in this side, and also they do have a little bit of quality. You know, the set piece, the free kick from Snodgrass was brilliant last week. Not great for my nap selection, but there we go. But I can just see Arsenal turning up and it being an absolute job done. A bit like they did at Watford. You know, we were looking at that game and thinking, well, Watford, you know, at Vicarage Road, you know, with the strikers and I'll get stuck into them. But Arsenal just played brilliantly. And if they keep the ball off Hull, I think they win this one. I'm going to take Arsenal minus a goal here at 8-5.
8-5 Arsenal minus one for Tom. Derek?
Yeah, you're right about Arsenal in the Champions League. They were atrocious. As insipid a performance from Arsenal in Europe as I've seen in a long time. And any Arsenal fans in the Wenger camp, well, they've only strengthened their feelings because it was unacceptable from a team who you know, have been in at that level of competition for a billion years. They were terrible. And they haven't been that great in the league either, have they, all season long. So anyone fighting shy of 1-2, backing them away from home against Hull, yeah, I can understand why. But what Tom says is right. They don't make mistakes in these kind of games anymore. 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. But if these kind of fixes, they turn up 0-0 after 30 minutes, Walcott gets a fluky goal in the 34th and they end up winning 2-0, something like that. It's the Arsenal MO at the moment. What I would say is that I'm not sure they'll win it in a cakewalk because Hull at the moment they don't look like a side that's going to ship a lot of goals. I think they haven't conceded more than one goal in any game this season. And they played Man United in that spell, by the way. When you're needing the 95th minute equaliser at Burnley to get a point, it does speak of your limitations. But they do have a tremendous fighting spirit there, and it counts an awful lot in the Premier League. We've seen that over the years. What I'm saying in a roundabout way is that I don't think this is going to be a goal fest. I can see Arsenal winning. I'm not afraid anymore to back teams to win away from home at odds on. Away from home doesn't mean anything to the top teams. What I will do is go for under 2.5 goals at a bigger price, 10 to 11.
Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals is available at 5-2 as well, which looks good if you think Arsenal are going to nick it 1 or 2-0.
That's a good bet.
Let's have a look at Manchester City. They are entertaining Bournemouth on Saturday afternoon. Manchester City 2-7 to win the match. The draw 9-2 with Bournemouth in the betting at 9-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 21-20, now 6-4. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 14-1, now 20-1. Perfect start to the season, Derek, for Manchester City. Won all four of their Premier League matches and pummeled Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-0 on Wednesday night. Sergio Aguero has been incredible, but he's not available, so Kelechi Iheanacho will probably lead the line, and he's got 2-2 for Manchester City. He's scored 9 goals, in fact, from just 13 shots on target in the Premier League for the club. They're now odds on to win the title, Derek, Manchester City. Is it too soon for that? Is it too early for a team to be odds on to win the Premier League after just 4 matches?
Yeah, because I think this season it is because there's so many challenges. And didn't they set off like a house on fire last term as well, City? Didn't they win their first 5 or 6? And then look what happens, they fell off a cliff. I tipped them for the league at the start of the season, and you know it's no surprise to me that they're short prices now. But I wouldn't be touching them odds on, no way. That said, they have been playing tremendously well, and that first half performance against United was just sensational. I know that Kevin De Bruyne got the Man of the Match award, but David Silva was mesmeric for me. I could not take my eyes off him. I've always thought, you know, when players get wildly praised in the press, I always think, yeah, not that good. But Silva, Jesus, he was fantastic. What a player! And he opened my I know he's been in the Premier League a good few years now. Well, it's what he did last week that opened my eyes to just what a tremendous performer he is. I noticed he's almost 2-1 to score at any time against Bournemouth. And the number of times he pops up and in around the box, that's got to be worth the best a player of his talent. I'm trying, you might have seen one of these prices at 1-3. You're looking at a way to oppose it, but 2-7 rather. I can't see it. I just don't see Bournemouth troubling City here. You know, battering United, battering Mönchengladbach in the Champions League. They're just playing above the ground at the moment, and I do think this will be an easy City win. So I'm going to go for Silva to score because I just love him, and I'm going to go City minus a goal at 7-10.
It's one of those, Derek, as well. I can't understand this match being priced the way it is when you compare it to Tottenham versus Sunderland. I know Bournemouth have got more scope than Sunderland, but should Tottenham be a shorter or Sunderland be it doesn't make any sense to me. Really.
No, it doesn't. No, sometimes that's a good way of sniffing out value, that when you look at a similar kind of game and the price is different. Yeah, you're right. So even a 2-7, I would argue City a value.
Yeah, I think I might as well. Tom, your thoughts on this?
I don't think anything's going to change in this fixture from probably the two meetings last year. What was it, 5-1 at the Etihad, 4-0 away from home for Man City down on the south coast. I can't see that change. I mean, you know, people will know I'm a fan of Bournemouth. I'm a big fan of how they play, but these are the games that are really struggling. You know, they struggle going to some of the big clubs where they make it expansive. You know, they want to play things their own way, Bournemouth, and I think they'll win more games than they're going to lose against that bottom 10, that group of teams. But they're in an absolutely different league, Man City, and it's going to be a very comfortable win. I mean, Ian Acho is a player. You think about the chances that Pep Guardiola's side are kind of creating, and I think he's desperate to take his chance. You mentioned that stat earlier about his goals to shots ratio for Manchester City is just remarkable. Mm. And I think when you're looking at him, I'd you know, any time in this match, it's about 17-20. I'd look at him in the 2 or more market at 19-5. I think this is the kind of game where Man City could be home and hosed at half time. I really do. I just don't think Bournemouth defensively will be out of court with City. Not many teams will, of course, in the Premier League. So I'm going for a comfortable Manchester City victory. Probably be looking at the handicap. Even -2 is 21-10. You know, you'd have been covered on that in both games last season. The over 3.5 goals as well. But I think Ian Acho, even at any time, is a fair price. But 2 or more looks very good. So it's a City win with plenty of breathing space for me.
One bet that might be worth a look at in the game as well is City to win and both teams to score at 17-10. That's landed in City's first 4 Premier League matches. I know it didn't land midweek against Borussia Mönchengladbach, but Bournemouth maybe have enough just to get on the score sheet here.
They score goals, Dave. I mean, that's what they do. They've scored once in each of their last in 8 of the last 9. Premier League matches. So, you know, it doesn't matter who they're playing against. Bournemouth will always back themselves to score. And they do have some good players. I do think that Man City at home against these kind of teams have had an air of complacency. Once they get themselves in front, you know, quite often we've seen them kind of ease off a little bit and everyone kind of thinks it's job done. And maybe Bournemouth could hurt them. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. I mean, Bournemouth, like I say, they are a team, you know, that have been scoring goals in the Premier League, but they're not going to be able to score. I would suspect they're going to need to score 3 goals at the Etihad to get a result.
Lots of short prices on the coupon this weekend, and Leicester, another one. 1-2 Leicester to beat Burnley, who are 11-2 with the draw 16-5. And the enhanced odds, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 7-5. It's now 2-1. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 17-2. Now in the betting at 10-1. Leicester haven't lost any of their last 9 league games against Burnley, winning 6 and drawing 3 in that spell. And a huge European night for them midweek, Tom, winning 3-0 in Bruges. I suppose the question you've got to ask is whether they feel a hangover from that performance, both literally and metaphorically, or they get straight back on the horse here and get 3 points in the Premier League.
I can't see it. I can't see them having any hangover from it at all. I don't think they'll be getting carried away with it. They probably look at that group, and even better news for them was that Porto had dropped points at home, and they probably looked at the group and thought it's between us and Porto for top spot. And they were brilliant. You know, I know Bruce had that chance early on in the game, but overall, I think Leicester now have a little bit more of a squad about them. There's a few more options for Claudio Ranieri. He's going back to that tinker man, I think, because he's going to have to. He's got to balance his squad around. But I think this is almost the perfect fixture for Leicester to have after a European game. You know, I think if they were going away, you know, to West Brom or even up to Sunderland or, you know, one of the bigger teams, I think it'd be a tougher prospect for them. But I think he can rotate the squad around this week, safe in the knowledge that they've got a home game against a Burnley side who traditionally have an awful record at Leicester. I mean, that goes back to when the two teams were competing in the Championship. And they don't score goals away from home, Sean Dyche's side, because they don't have it in them. I talked about the lack of pace that Burnley have in their team. It does not suit them away from home. You look at all the teams from the bottom 7-8 clubs in the Premier League have done well away from home. You think about Palace when they were on that run and they were the best away team in the Premier League for a couple of months. Just unbelievable pace on the counter. Burnley don't have it. So their task away from home is to sit in. They try and make it compact and then they resort to set pieces. Well, unfortunately for Sean Dyche, those days are long gone in the Premier League. You need to be able to go toe-to-toe with your opponents away from home and they need to know that there's a threat, you know, if they make a mistake, and it just keeps the home side on edge. I don't think Leicester will have any problems here at all. Again, I don't see a big win for Leicester, but I do see Jamie Vardy getting on the score sheet. 7 goals in his last 8 Premier League matches. You know, people talked about him having a little bit of a drought. He's got 4-4 at the King Power Stadium. I think Leicester win this. Again, you're probably looking at around the 2-0 mark, something like that. I can't see Burnley scoring, so you could look at Leicester to win 2-0. But again, the enhanced odds offer grabs my eye. Dave, Jamie Vardy goal and a Leicester win at 2-1.
If you are looking at Leicester to win the game 2-0, that's 11-8. Leicester to win it 2-0 in the betting at 13-2. And they do have options now, Derek. Jamie Vardy, not alone anymore. Islam Slimani played midweek. They've got Ahmed Musa in the team as well. And Riyad Mahrez returning to something like his best form.
Yeah, about time too. He's been under the weather a while. See, this is the champions against a team that will probably end up in a relegation zone. And so 1-2, it should be a no-brainer. You should absolutely lump on with everything you've got. But you know there's a word but just going to come here. I have a funny feeling about this. I can't square back in Leicester at 1-2 with what I witnessed at Anfield last Saturday, when they were absolutely atrocious. It was no part of Leicester's game was functioning last week, apart from the understanding Jamie Vardy had with Lucas. It was just a very poor performance. And you know, it wasn't the first this season. You know, let's not forget they lost against Hull on the opening day. Maybe they were caught cold that day. It should be a no-brainer, but I can't back him at 1-2. What Tom says is right about Burnley. Away from home, I don't know what it is. They never look like scoring. They played two games away from home this season. Both finished blank. One of them was at Accrington, by the way, in the League Cup or whatever it's called now. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. What I'm going to do, you know what? I'm going to have a little speculative bet here on a 0-0 draw. Because let's not forget, by the way, that Leicester played in the Champions League for the first time. Big glamour fixture, you know, the whole city was up, and then the next match is at home against Burnley. You know, it's an after the Lord Mayor's show kind of thing. You know, it seems to puncture the feel good factor. I'm going to go for 0-0 here, just as a little speculative fiver or a tenner bet.
10-1.
I do think Leicester last week at Anfield, I mean, it's a tougher match, obviously, but I do think maybe the Champions League had its effect last week. You know what
possibly,
I mean?
The nerves
are maybe getting the result now they've got it in the bag. And actually, Porto dropped points. It puts them in a strong position. Maybe they can relax a little bit. I don't know, but you know, obviously, it's a different prospect going to Anfield as it is hosting Burnley. Mm.
West Brom versus West Ham next. The West Derby. West Brom are 6-4 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with West Ham in the betting at 15-8. Enhanced odds: Solomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 16-5. Now 4-1, and Simone Zaza to score and West Ham to win was 4-1. Enhanced to 5-1. Derek, another match week gone without West Brom scoring. And since Tony Pulis took charge, they failed to score in 21 Premier League games. They've only won one of their last 13 league games as well, scoring just 6 goals in that spell. Fortunately, they've got West Ham coming to town, who conceded 4 at home against Watford last weekend. I've got no idea what happened in that game. 1 minute they're 2-0 up, the next minute they're 4-2 down. One thing that West Ham do is they score goals. They've scored in their last 17 league games now. And I think they'll fancy their chances of scoring against West Brom, even though notoriously Tony Pulis is bound to keep it tight.
Well, if they score, they win, don't they? It's you know, attacking is the pussies. That's Tony Pulis' MO. It's no surprise that he's still favourite to go. We're the first manager to go. And there's been stories all week that West Brom big wigs have been tapping up Roy Hodgson to replace him. I mean, that hints at one thing very clearly. And they never saw England v Iceland or any Liverpool match when he was mismanaging there. It's a horrible fixture because both sides are under a cloud. Under Pulis, West Brom, didn't they used to sing boing, boing baggies at West Brom? It's now boring, boring baggies. He's merely injected an R, and that's something Roy Hodgson would never do. I've got to go for West Ham here because I think West Brom, we know what West Brom's limitations are. They're massive. You know, I just don't see them getting any better. I've said at the start of the season, in my mirror column at the start of the season, the best way to make a profit this season was to read another column. No, it was to oppose West Brom whenever they're favourites. Unbelievably, they're favourites for this game. I don't understand how they can possibly be. Now, West Ham, there's something not quite right there. We know that Slaven Bilic is looking very ill at ease at the moment. Even the fans were fighting each other last week. They were fighting the Hammers stewards as well. It's their own fault, the stewards are not letting them out early.
I would have to go here for West Ham because there's more to come from them, no doubt about it. But I think we've seen the best of West Brom and also the worst, and it's pretty much the same.
15-8 West Ham for Derek. If you're looking for a goal scorer here, Mikel Antonio has been in good form. He's 5-2 to score any time. He's been effective. He's scored 4 of West Ham's 5 goals in the league this season. And unfortunately, I was looking at the scorer match specials. He's not in the to score a header market, but he's scored the most headers since the start of last season, 10 in total. West Ham 15-8 for Derek, Tom. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, completely. I mean, actually, I think it's a bit of a pressure game on West Ham. I mean, West Brom, there's this standoff, isn't there? The takeover. Tony Pulis is doing everything he can, I think, to get sacked. He's almost in that Mourinho mode of last year. It's almost taunting the board, isn't he? Time and time again. I mean, he was slagging off the signings last week that they made. You think, what is that doing within that camp of West Brom players, that they know the manager doesn't really want to be there now? He's looking, you know, to get his way out. He's looking for his payoff, as far as I'm concerned. And that is a club that's on a real downward slump. But I think West Ham, I think it's a bit of a pressure game. I think they'll be getting a little bit twitchy, you know, because, you know, out of the Europa League, and they shouldn't have. The only thing that's saving them is, you know, the fact that they're paying £2.99 a year on rent for that stadium. And it's saving them a fortune, because otherwise, you know, it's been a real poor start to the season, particularly the investment in the squad and obviously what's been going on off the pitch and in the stands last week. So actually, I think there's a bit of pressure on West Ham. I think Slaven Bilic will have been told by the owners at the club that, you know, you've got to start getting some results and quickly. But the fact they scored goals is a big bonus for them going into this match, obviously. I mean, they've been scoring, they have been conceding, but Derek's exactly right. If West Ham score, they win the game. So looking at a few things in this one, you can back West Brom not to score at 21-10. Whatever your thoughts on West Ham, you know, under 0.5 goals for West Brom doesn't look too bad. West Ham over 1.5 at 15-8. But I keep it nice and simple here. West Ham to win it at 15-8, I think they do. I'm not sure how the game's going to go, but I think West Ham should have enough, particularly with their attacking players. And again, that West Brom, you look down those goal scorer markets, it's not inspiring, is it? Rondon, he's been playing. Berahino up on his own. He doesn't want to be there. Hal Robson-Kanu, Chadley, Matt Phillips, James McLean, none of those players inspire with any confidence. At least West Ham have that little bit of X factor, don't they? And Mikel Antonio obviously in form and scoring a lot of headed goals. It could just be a one-goal game, this. And, you know, a header from a set piece could decide it.
The final game we're going to look at is Southampton versus Swansea. Southampton 4-6, the draw 13-5 with Swansea at 9-2. Enhanced odds, Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 19-10, now 11-4. Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 17-2, now 10-1. We are recording this piece on Thursday morning, so Southampton are in action on Thursday night against Sparta Prague. They're a really short price here, Tom. You're backing a team, or if you are backing a team at odds on here at home, they've only picked up 2 points in their opening 4 games. Already failed to beat Watford and Sunderland at St Mary's this season. Two teams that are kind of comparable with Swansea, Tom.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I kind of look at this match. It's pretty uninspiring fixture, isn't it? I mean, actually, we talk about the European, the knock-on effects of European games, but I think the teams that are playing on a Thursday night find it more difficult. The Thursday to Sunday, for some reason, seems to be more of an issue than obviously the Champions League teams. Obviously, have that little bit of extra day, but the Wednesday to Saturday, you know, it's the same gap. But I don't know why. There's always been a little bit more of a hangover, and I've not been inspired by either of these teams starting to the season. I think Southampton are the better squad. If I was going to manage one of these teams, I prefer probably to be at Southampton, but the Swansea still have something about them, don't they? You know, they fought back well against Chelsea last week. But I see this being a draw. I see Southampton probably being a bit lethargic after their exploits in Europe. And Swansea can still sort of nick a goal, can't they? You know, they've still got some players, particularly Sigurdsson, of course. I'm not surprised to see him as part of the enhanced odds offer there for him to score on a Swansea win at 10-1. I can just see a draw in this one. And I can't necessarily see a bagload of goals either. I think Swansea would take the point, and I just don't know whether Southampton have enough yet to get over the line. I think there's more to come from the Saints, but I haven't seen it yet.
13-5, the draw in the game. Derek?
Well, what you said in your intro, I mean, Southampton have played sides like Watford, and who was the other one you mentioned? I can't remember.
Sunderland it was, yeah.
Yeah, at home, and failed to beat both. And we're asked to back them at odds on, heavy odds on, to beat Swansea, who've just come back from the dead against Chelsea. Now, you know, it won't wash. the draw is a big factor. That's what worries me. Well, I'm going for Swansea at 9-2. It's an attractive price that, but the draw is a big factor. So I'm going to go my old favourite Swansea plus a goal here at 6-5. Okay, Swansea haven't been pulling up any trees, and to be honest, before they got a better look against Chelsea, I thought they looked awful. I was watching that game thinking, Jesus, could Swansea go down this season? That's how poor they were. And then all of a sudden they find themselves 2-1 up. But you look at their team sheets, and there are dangerous players there. You know, there are players that can score at this level. So 9-2 is definitely not the worst bet in the world, especially when they're coming up against a team that's just been playing on the Thursday night. We know that plays havoc with teams without big strength and depth. But the safe bet, the professional bet, is Swansea plus a goal at 6-5.
Why are you going for it, Derek, if it's the professional bet?
I'm going to go for a 4-0
Southampton win. And I like it. I like Swansea plus one at 6-5. I do like that a lot. That brings us to the end, chaps. We've just got the naps to come. I won't go through the table this week, Derek. I'll give you a chance to make it a little bit more respectable.
I'm stoked. You know, there's better this to come. I'm lying at the bottom at the moment, with more to come. I'm pulling up. I'm going for Stoke before anybody else nips in there. 16-5.
16-5 to win at Palace. Stoke, yeah. for Derek. Tom, what's your nap?
Goals in the Friday night game, Chelsea Liverpool. I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals at 7-4.
Over 3.5 at 7-4. I'm going to go for that bet that you just mentioned, Derek. Swansea plus one at 6-5 is my best bet this weekend. I'm nicking that one from you, Derek. So Stoke 16-5, over 3.5 goals, Chelsea versus Liverpool, and Swansea plus one at 6-5. Just under 25-1, that treble this weekend. I like it a lot. 25-1 the treble.
That's a great treble, that.
I like it. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Tom, thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning into the podcast. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Catch us on iTunes as well. Again, type in William Hill. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet this weekend, very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.